Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you please turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Just to set the context for this, this is at the Last Supper, the night before Jesus is crucified. So this is the beginning of his institution of not only the Last Supper, but also this thing of foot washing. And so we want to listen to that account today of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop there from the text because that is the basis of the explanation here about this washing of the feet. I just want to begin by saying that I want to correct, first of all, something that was I said Ash Wednesday. I was talking to Ash Wednesday how we enter into a time of confession to the Lord, and then we enter into the peace offering, confessing our sins and coming to peace with God, then having the peace offering, which is the bread and the wine, or the barley grain offering along with the drink offering, which is bread and wine. And someone said, "Well, it was meat." And I said, "No, it's not meat. It's bread and wine." There is meat that was offered along with that. So I just want to clarify that the peace offering or the fellowship offering does include meat, but along with that is what's known as the grain offering and the drink offering. And that's what we celebrate here, being at peace with God. We celebrate the bread and the wine as part of the peace offering. That goes all the way back to Judaism and to Leviticus. So I just wanted to clarify that. A second thing I want to begin by saying is that it's very unusual for those of us who have grown up with the lectionary readings all our lives. We know you don't begin Lent by talking about foot washing. Foot washing is something that's talked about on Maundy Thursday. Maundy is mandatum, which is the commandment. It's basically Holy Thursday. It's the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It was the night before his crucifixion. It was the night of the Last Supper. And it's during the Last Supper is when Jesus got down and started washing the disciples' feet. Well, you don't start talking about that at the beginning of Lent. That happens on Maundy Thursday night, the day before Good Friday. And yet, I each year, as this would come up, we'd get to Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday night, and we'd talk to foot washing. And I think, wow, this is such a powerful reading. There's such a powerful message in here. Jesus says some really profound things, and yet I get like maybe 15 minutes each year, and I keep getting frustrated year after year. So this year, this year, we're going to talk about the foot washing as an example of what I believe is the most specific reinforcement of the theme that I'm proposing for us this Lenten time, which is the theme of servanthood. During Lent, it's a time of self-examination, of evaluating our relationship with God. Particularly, are we being obedient to God? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us to make us more like Jesus? How is that being manifested out in the form of servanthood, being a servant? And so we want to look at what that means, and we're going to use this story of the foot washing because Jesus says some really amazing, profound things here in this text that we just simply cannot address in one sitting. So we're going to use this as kind of a meditation, I believe, proposing it at least, during this time of Lent. I really applaud people who say, oh, I read through the Bible once every year. I'm like, that's great. That's wonderful to read through the whole Bible once a year. On the other hand, it's also great to take one text of Scripture, and as it's kind of like the cows gnaw on it, they chew on it, right? They over and over again. And so I'm proposing this text is kind of for the next several weeks, John 13, to read it and to read it again and read it and ask the Lord to reveal to us, Lord, what are you saying to us in this text? So I hope and I expect, I don't know, I expect that we're going to get great revelations over the next few weeks as we examine the specific thing about what Jesus is teaching the disciples and us about servanthood through his example of the foot washing. The first thing I want to say about servanthood, though, is that servanthood is really the question, the theme we're putting up. Being a servant. Being a servant. What does it mean to be a servant? In what way am I acting out servanthood in my life? Okay, that's going to be our theme through this time of Lent. Now, servanthood or being a servant, in one respect, is simply following the example of Jesus. We're told in Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. So Jesus clearly gave the example as a servant. Another aspect of servanthood is that it is a matter of obedience. In Matthew chapter 20, when the sons of Zebedee came with their mother, and they're trying to say, mom's trying to say, I want you to let my son sit on the right and on the left. And Jesus, in the course of talking about who is the greatest and who is going to sit in the kingdom of God on his right or left, he said to them this. He said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He's talking about this hierarchy that existed in social structure of that day, which was tremendously hierarchical. There were the good ones and the higher ones and the low ones and the bad ones. He said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. He says, it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so we see this actual command of Jesus. He says, it's not supposed to be like you, with you like it is with the Gentiles, with these hierarchies where we value one person over another based on economic status or political status or whatever. And so it's both an act of obedience and also an act of following the example of Jesus that we look at this concept of servanthood and what it means in our lives. Now, I was saying that the most specific example of Jesus' teaching about servanthood we see in this foot washing service. This is something that was extraordinary at that time. It continues to be an extraordinarily difficult subject, actually, in our current day even, to understand what Jesus said and what he meant by the things that he said in this time of teaching about the foot washing. Why did he do it and what did he mean by it? So we're just going to begin today by looking at try to understand what is it that he was teaching us in that. But the thing is to realize, again, as I said, the frustration I would get every Maundy Thursday, we'd come to this, and many of you don't even attend the Maundy Thursday services, so many of you don't even hear this reading on an annual basis. And yet I'm so convinced it's something so profound here. There's several things, actually, even more, but I took three very profound things that Jesus said. When he talked about Peter, and Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet. He said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no share with me, or you have no part in me. Think of that. That's a tremendously profound statement, isn't it? He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. It's like, wow, what does Jesus mean by that? A second thing that Jesus talked about, he says, I'm your Lord and your teacher. He says, if I've done this to you, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He says, I'm setting you an example. What I've done to you, you also should do to one another. That's pretty specific. And we read that and we would think, wow, this should have been like a major sacrament in the church from the beginning of time, you would think. I mean, look at how important Holy Communion is. And here, right at the same time, almost as equally so, Jesus is saying, you should be doing this. This is something I'm setting an example. As I've done it to you, you should be doing this to one another. Wow, what a tremendous statement. A third one is that Jesus said, if you know these things now, he says, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed you will be. Again, this is what we call the assurance of grace, like praying in our closet. Jesus says, if you do this thing, the Father is going to bless you in doing it. It's like, yeah, we need all the blessings we can get. So we need to understand, wow, these are amazing statements that Jesus is making. They're so specific, so full of power, and yet, even to this day and through the centuries, the church has sought to either minimize or avoid this teaching altogether. I just finished reading one book. I'm reading a second one on foot washing. And this one was called Washing Feet by Thomas O'Loughlin. He wrote and included a history of foot washing from the earliest days. And he's documented all through the centuries how people like St. Augustine and Clement and all that and the popes, they say, oh, this is really important. Jesus said we should do this. We should really do this. Let's do it on Thursday morning. You know, we can't do it on Sunday. We can't do it at a prominent time because, you know, the people really don't like it. I mean, it's awkward. It's you know, messy. It's just, it just makes us feel kind of queasy, doesn't it? And so, yeah, it's very important. And boy, talk about the mismatch between the theology of saying, you know, let's listen. Isn't this something really important? And yet for the church, basically for 2,000 years, there's been some denomination like the Mennonites, some like the Free Will Baptist, he was saying, that have gone through periods of you know, holding this in prominence, but even them went through periods of really giving this prominence, and at other times, not so. And you'd ask yourself, why is that? This is what O'Loughlin writes. He says, I have become convinced that any activity that elicits such deep emotions must either be very silly or very powerful. This is either really, really silly, or this is something really powerful. He says, foot washing is one of those things. Otherwise, it would have not been so shocking when Jesus did it, right? They were shocked, the disciples. It would not be something that so many serious disciples down the centuries have tried to diffuse or marginalize. Serious disciples, saints of the church, have repeatedly either marginalized this or diffused it. And it's like, wow, why would that be? Again, this disconnect between the theology and the practice. He says, finally, nor would it be something that even today can be so awkward for so many of us. I certainly think that's borne out in our own culture, our own experience here of doing foot washing. We've probably been doing it for about 15 years, but I remember my first experience of a foot washing. I was so convicted by the text itself, I thought, yeah, this is something we should be doing. But yet the thought of doing, never had it being raised in the Roman Catholic Church. We never did it. Rarely we heard about it in the Episcopal Church. But it was something I was convinced that we really should be doing, and yet it was kind of strange. In fact, the strangest part was letting somebody else wash your feet. I mean, you know, what do my feet look like? My toes are funny, you know, and just all these things go in. I mean, it's really an embarrassment. And yet then I would go to the Lord and I'm thinking, what is it that's keeping me from fulfilling this command? It's a command. My embarrassment. I feel awkward about it. Now, how does that stack up in terms of reasons? You know, justified? Not too good. Not too well. And so I really examined that. I remember the time of first doing it and doing it ever since. And it is true that it's something very, very difficult for people. I know there are still some like Peter that would say, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to do that. And furthermore, would say, I don't think it's necessary. Now, that's something we're going to examine over the weeks to come. What does Jesus mean when it says, if you don't do this, you'd have no part in me? Wow. What does it mean to say that what I have done, now you need to be doing this? In what respect is that true in our lives? And so we want to examine these things. Now, to begin this morning, to examine it, I want to first look at the context. We always try to look at context. To look at this bushwashing in the context of both the culture and also the situation. Now, in terms of the culture, it was very common for people back then, we're talking first century Judaism, very common that people would have sandals with no socks. That's one of my favorite, remember, socks. No socks back then. They would have sandals, and you know what the roads were like. They were dirty roads. Not only that, a bunch of animals. You know what animals do on dirt roads, right? So they're walking all on these dirt roads. Their feet are incredibly gross and disgusting. So it was the common practice whenever anybody wearing sandals with no socks on dusty, dirty roads would walk into someone's house, first thing you do is we need to get this crud off of their feet. And so someone would come and they would wash the person's feet. So it was absolutely all the time was happening, very normal, that somebody else is washing my feet. That's one thing I find kind of interesting. We kind of turn that around culturally. I think it's actually easier to wash somebody else's feet now than it is to have somebody wash my feet. That was my own personal experience. Well, back then it was very normal. In fact, we know when Jesus in Luke 22 went to visit the home of the Pharisee, and remember the woman came in and started weeping and washing his feet with her tears. And Jesus says to the Pharisee, he says, look at this woman, you know what she's doing. He says, when I came in, you didn't give me water to wash my feet. So even Jesus acknowledged this was a normal practice that when you went into someone's home, the first thing he did is let's get the crud off everybody's feet so we don't dirty up the house. So that culturally was something very important and was very common to be done because of the conditions and walking around with sandals with no socks. Now another thing culturally was that it was very, very hierarchical, even more so than what we have today. There was very specific pecking orders. Of course, for the Jews, it was Jews over Gentiles. They looked down at the Gentiles. It was the masters over the slaves. Slavery was very prominent in that time. It was men over women. That's just how it was. It was also the older over the younger. Older people had hierarchy over younger people. And so the lowest of the low jobs, which foot washing would be one of those, was given to the lowest of the low. In which case, in many respects, it would have been a young girl. She would be a slave, a servant, and being a woman, she would be that, down on that, you know, versus men. But also in terms of the older woman, it was the younger women who had to do this. So generally, it was the young girls were the ones that had to do this foot washing because it was considered the lowest of the lowest. So although it was very common, it was also very accepted and understood that this was something only the lowest servant would do. That was the cultural context. Now, the situational context is here Jesus is having Last Supper with his disciples. Now, he knows it's the night before he's going to be crucified. He's told them, but they don't seem to get it. So he has this, he's sharing the Passover with them. But remember, this wasn't any of their homes. It wasn't one of the homes of the disciples. Jesus told them, go into the city. When you see somebody carrying a jar, follow them to this house and tell them, you know, the master wants to have his supper with his disciples in your upper room. So this was like neutral territory for all the disciples. It was nobody's home. So all of them come in, and the question is, well, who's got the responsibility to make sure people's feet get washed? Well, no one. No one. If this had been Peter's home or John's home or somebody else, it would have been understood that they would have made sure somebody was there to wash everyone's feet. So, and I think this is, I mean, Jesus always knew ahead of time, I think, what was happening. So he sets this up. It's neutral territory. They get in. They're sitting around washed, eating. And everybody knows that, hey, we all got this crud on our feet, but I'm not going to get down and wash anybody else's feet. I don't see, look around, any slave girls around here? Nope, no slave girls. So here they're all sitting around with a bunch of dirty feet. On top of that, we know again from Luke's gospel that even at the Last Supper, you know what the disciples were arguing about? The only argument tells us they had last supper. They're arguing about who would be the greatest. So think of this, imagine the situation here. Jesus is there with the disciples, they're sharing this Last Supper, and they're all walking, and they're all sitting around, they all got dirty feet, because nobody's going to lay a hand to try to rectify that. Not only that, but they're discussing, well, who's the greatest? And I just picture Jesus kind of sitting back, just listening to this conversation, looking at everybody's dirty feet. Nobody's going to stoop down to wash feet. They're all talking about who's the greatest. And what does Jesus do? He gets up, he puts on a towel, and he puts water, and he goes around and starts washing the feet of the disciples. Wow. Wow. I mean, this is huge. I try to think of an example. Again, this is servanthood. See, what Jesus is exemplifying here is true servanthood. He's the master. Remember, if I, Lord and Master, am doing this, what a profound statement that is, because it was the lowest of the low servants that would have done this. But for Jesus to get up and to do this is an example that is so profound in terms of what serving one another and doing something, and yet we ask ourselves, what was the lesson that he was really teaching them? And so I try to think of an example in current life that we have times, maybe we're with a group of people, and we know something has to be done, but nobody wants to do it. You know, it's like we're at a gathering or something. Oh, we forgot such and such. Somebody needs to run back to the house and get something. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You know, it's going to take 20 minutes to get back to the house, whatever. Another example, again, this is just a small, small way, but I play tennis, and we always play doubles, and so we need four people, to play doubles. Sometimes it happens you have an extra person. So you got five people. You want to play double. It means somebody has to sit out. And so there's a question comes up, okay, who wants to sit out? And all of us, we kind of turn like this, And isn't it magical, like kids, if you think, if I don't look at somebody, they're not going to pick me? I still think that in my mind. If I don't look at him, he's not going to pick me. So we all turn around, I need to get something out of my bag. I don't want to sit out. I came there to play tennis. But somebody's got to sit out. Now you see, this is just a small sense. But can you think of some of the circumstances you've been in, where you've been with a group of people? Something has to be done, and nobody wants to do it. And who's going to step up and say, I'll do it. I'll go get it. I'll clean this. I'll whatever. I'll stay after. Right? This is what Jesus is talking about, except, on a scale even beyond that, because of this thing with the foot washing. And culturally, what such a shock it was. Again, Peter, I think, exemplified it very well. He says, Lord, I can't let you wash my feet. That's so degrading, Lord, what you're doing here. It's embarrassing, Lord. I can't let you do this. And he says, Peter, if you don't let me do it, you have no part in me. Wow. What a state. Let's meditate on that for about, 4 months. If I don't do it, you have no part in me. So Jesus did an amazing thing, and we need to try to understand what is it that he's teaching us in this thing called foot washing. Again, so specific, so direct in what he's telling us we need to be doing, and yet over the centuries, very good, strong, devout Christians have just kind of diffused and said, well, yeah, we don't want to do that. And that continues to this very day. What does that mean for us? Well, I would say, again, we need to explore this. But as we look at the cultural context then versus now, I do think there are some differences. As I said, I think it's one thing culturally, it was very normal for somebody else to washing my feet. But now culturally, I think it's actually turned around. It's harder, I think, for me to let somebody else wash my feet. I think it's easy. I found it easier for me to wash somebody else's feet than to let someone wash my feet. That was very much against what it was back then. But another thing I would say, in terms of the hierarchy they had back then, maybe it's not as formal as it is now, but we still have a pecking order in our culture today. We have the rich versus the poor, right? We have the beautiful versus the not so beautiful, right? Who do we value? Who do we hold up in these movies? It amazes me, these movie stars, they have them on these political shows, and they say, oh, so-and-so wants to say something about politics. I'm like, what does this person know about politics? Come on in, join us. Yeah, come on, have a seat. Yeah. What about those intelligence and the not so intelligent, right? So we have kind of a pecking order, don't we, about how we value people. The big business people, those who are rich, are of a higher value than those who are. Now, I would say in addition to that, though, I believe we also have very personal pecking orders ourselves. Things that we value from some people versus others. Things like race, color, religion, ethnic background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People say, well, I'm not prejudiced. I don't think it's possible not to be prejudiced because we naturally come together with people who are like us. If you go into a room and you see a bunch of people who are like you, you're going to find yourself going to be with those people. So I think even whether it's conscious or unconscious, we all have this pecking order in our, that there are certain people we would not only not want to really be associated, maybe we don't hate them, I'm not saying that, but we would prefer not to associate with them, let alone to serve them. Wow, and that's what Jesus is getting across. It's not just associate. He says, you're to serve these people. So this is a tremendous teaching, I think, that Jesus is trying to get across to us. As we go through this time of Lent, our focus really is on this question, am I surrendering to the Spirit of Jesus Christ alive in me? I believe we all have it. We've all professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Am I surrendering to that Holy Spirit in me that's going to make me more like Jesus? Now, when it comes to the question of servanthood, I think the big issue that grows within us is the issue of compassion. I find that growing within myself. There used to be times things would happen and it just didn't affect me at all. Now I see some things on TV and I get this strange feeling in my side and I'm like, oh, what's this feeling? And Debbie would say, oh, I think it's compassion. I said, wow, what a strange feeling. I've never felt that before, or I've never allowed myself to feel that. And so I find within myself, I would not call myself a compassionate person by any means, but I find myself being more touched by the hurt in other people. And I'm like, wow, where is this coming from? I think the Holy Spirit is doing something in me. I believe this is in all of us. I believe it's in all of us, but maybe we don't give in to it, maybe we don't surrender to it, but something like embarrassing ourselves or something as awkward as, say, a foot washing, as specific as Jesus says, this is something you should be doing, and we say, that's not for me. Not for me. I'm not into that kind of stuff, but Jesus said you should do it. I know, but I'm not into it. Do you see the disconnect there? What is it that's keeping me? Well, it's embarrassment, it's awkward, you know, smelly feet. And I mean, we can come up with a long list. I think this is a real challenge for us. And I think as we get into this question for Lent, this self-examination, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me? This thing about servanthood, I think, is a really good one to focus on. Because if there's anything really that reveals to us, what am I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me? I'll find myself growing in my compassion for those in need and in responding to that in terms of my servanthood to those who are in need, helping the poor and the needy. Remember what Jesus said? Whatever you do for the least of my brethren, you do to me? Isn't that an amazing statement? Have we ever really thought about what that means? Wow. So, I'm proposing to you, John 13, read it. Read it again. Read it again. Pray, Lord, what are you revealing to me through this reading? That we would get further insights as we examine this, examine the statement, the profound statements that Jesus makes. And what does it mean in my life to be a servant? As Jesus set the example, to have that compassion, particularly for the poor and the needy. So this is the challenge before us, and I believe the time is important as well, that we're going to see lots of needy things happening in the world, lots of needy people. I think we're only beginning to see the kind of the effects of things. And so again, brothers and sisters, I leave you You know, the kingdom of God is upon us. We don't want to wait till we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and he says, I never knew you. You know, we want to, am I living out my faith? Remember what James said, faith without works is dead. Why? Because it shows that you don't have any faith. If there's no works, it says, I don't have the faith. So now is a time to wrestle with these issues and see, am I bearing fruit in my life? Is my faith bearing fruit? And is there evidence by the works that I do, particularly this one, servanthood and compassion? The best is yet to come in the midst of all this, because God does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus, servanthood. And Lord, over the next weeks or so, we pray that you would guide us as we seek to better discern what this means, Lord. What is this all about? Why for so many centuries, Lord, has the church diffused this or just avoided it or ignored it? And Lord, what might it mean for us in this day and in this time? So Lord, may we enter into this and may you reveal great things to us about your purpose, your plan, and what this really means. You told Peter that at that time he would not understand what it meant, but later on he would understand. So Lord, we ask for that understanding in us in this time. May you guide us, Lord. Help us to be aware of the compassion of the Holy Spirit in us, that we would begin today to be truly servants, to have a servant's heart, and to help those in need. All this we pray in He who came not to be served, but to serve, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.